watching the baby, Dee Dee answers from the back. You're both bitches, Jen grumbles. If that's Connor's first words, I'm going to kill you, I tell her, laughing. Fine, I'll go. The usual for you guys, but what do I get that big hunk of man you're screwing? We're not screwing, I sigh. And get him the meatloaf platter. The man has a thing for meatloaf. I always heard it was bad if a man let his meatloaf. Dee Dee groans from the back room. That joke is older than my grandmother, and she's 90 fucking two. Connor better not use the word fuck, Dee Dee, I warn her. I'm getting out of here, Jen grumbles. But money. I'm using petty cash. We can figure it out later, she mutters. I finish frosting the cake and take the pan back. Dee Dee is on the phone. Connor is sleeping in his bassinet. Dee Dee waves, and I smile, taking a tray of cookies back with me to fill up the other half of the display case. I've got half of them in the case when the bell above the door goes off. I look up to see a man with long, dark, oily hair showing under a hat that he is wearing low on his head. The hat shields his eyes, but I can see enough of his face to know it is riddled with marks and small scars. Yet where I don't notice Michael's, and Michael's are probably worse, something about this guy's is different. There's a coldness about this stranger that makes the scars look more sinister. He is also strangely familiar, though I can't see his face clearly enough to place him. Welcome to Charlie's. Can I help you? I ask the man, pasting on my fake business face. The stranger doesn't say anything. He looks around the room as if he's inspecting every corner of the shop. Is he seeing if it's clean enough? Since it looks like he hasn't washed his hair in a month, I find that annoying. He walks to the counter, and being this close to him makes me wish he would leave. He puts his hands on my counter. They're covered in ink, but not the good kind, like on Michael's. These are crudely drawn letters that almost look like they've been dug into the skin, and then someone inked over the scars. The words aren't any better either. The right hand has death, and angel is written on the left hand. One letter on each finger. All done on the knuckle. The uneasy feeling I've had since seeing him increases. I wish I could shake the feeling that I've seen him before.
I'm looking for a sweet treat. I am surprised your business is not filled with customers.
His words set off warning bells, but I do my best not to react. He's complimenting me, but it doesn't come off like that. Not even close. We have cookies and cupcakes. I have some specialty breads. Our lemon poppy seed seems to be a favorite, I decide, and try to hurry him along so he will leave.
I think I'll taste your cupcakes. My brother, he says your cake is the best he has ever tasted. Moist and succulent,
he tells me, giving me a smile that makes my skin crawl almost as much as his words do. Well, thank your brother for his recommendation, I tell him.
Sad, but I can't. My brother passed away. Recently.
I'm sorry to hear that. Losing a loved one is never an easy thing.
That it is not. Especially when they die so senselessly.
I'm sure. How did he die? I ask, and immediately wish I hadn't.
He was sleeping with another man's woman. I'm told the man objected.
His frank reply shocks me. It doesn't seem like information you would share with a stranger. Then again, nothing about this guy seems normal. I really want him gone. I'm sorry for your loss, I say, inadequately. Have you decided what flavor of cake you would like to try?
It is bad when a woman is a whore and leads a man by his dick, isn't it? She lives, while my brother feeds the worms, and all because she could not keep her legs closed.
Okay. This is way off. This guy is a fucking nutcase. I also can't help but think I've seen him before. Even his voice seems familiar. I'm about to call for Dee Dee to get Michael to come up here with me when I hear Michael.
Sorry, Hayden. That took longer than I thought. Skull didn't take the news that great,
he says, and just the sound of his gruff voice makes things better. I turn around as the door opens. "That's okay," I tell him, relief making my voice sound way too bright and cheerful. Michael must notice something is off because he comes straight to me, wrapping his arm around me. I lean on him for a second to calm my nerves. I turn around to face the customer, just in time to see his back and hear the bell signaling the door opening. He leaves without a word, and I don't try to stop him. I'm glad he's gone.
"You all right, beauty?"
"I am now," I tell him honestly, and go up on my tiptoes to kiss him. I'm always better when Michael is around. Chapter 34. Hayden.
"Hayden,"
Michael groans, making me smile. I'm winning. At this point, we're only 4 days away from getting the doctor's approval for sex. Michael has proven to be very stubborn and has resisted every attempt I've made. It probably hasn't helped that I've been giving him a steady barrage of blowjobs to help tempt him. I never meant to go all the way. I only wanted to tease him enough that he gave me what I wanted the most. Him inside of me. Once I got started, however, making him lose control became a favorite pastime. The last week, I've stopped. Cold turkey. I told him he could only come inside of me from here on out. He grunted at me then, and the last 2 days, he's downright snarled at me. It's not been easy, but I haven't caved, and I really, really wanted to. I decided tonight was it. Enough is enough. So, I waited until I knew he was asleep, crawled under the covers, and slid his semi-hard cock into my mouth. I didn't have long to wait. I can actually feel his cock growing in my mouth. I hum around his cock, teasing his head with my tongue.
"Fuck, woman,"
he groans, his hands finding my hair and wrapping it around his fists. He pushes my mouth further down while thrusting his cock deeper into my throat.
"You've got a mouth like a fucking vacuum cleaner,"
he growls as I fight to keep from gagging. I slowly back off and move my mouth back up his shaft. I flatten my tongue and feel the vein on the underside of his cock literally pulsate. I grin as I release him from my mouth with a loud popping noise. My man is not exactly a poet. He's brutally honest. Gruff, but sincere. He's definitely rough around the edges. I like that a lot more than hearts and flowers, however. I trust everything Michael tells me. I know instinctively I always can, no matter how much I might not like it. "I love the way you taste, Michael."
"God, I wish you could see yourself right now, Hayden. You're so fucking beautiful."
His dark voice rumbles a second before he reaches out and clasps his hand around the back of my neck and pulls me up to him. His lips crash onto mine, wild, heated, and out of control. He invades my mouth like a warrior going into battle, devouring me, owning me. Before I realize what he's doing, he turns us on the bed so that now, instead of sitting with my back to the foot of the bed, I am now facing the dresser across from us. We break apart, and I'm gasping for breath. The kiss was that explosive, that demanding. "Michael," I whimper, my body automatically leaning back into him, wanting more.
"Turn around,"
he orders gruffly. His voice so deep it vibrates through my body, seemingly on a direct path to pussy, making me even wetter. I don't even think to deny him. I turn around, giving him my back, and thanking God that I stripped before I woke him up. His rough hands slide up my stomach methodically. They move to my sides, each finger pressing into my side as if he is memorizing every inch of my body. Slowly, his hands move to my back, and he pushes me until I'm forced on my hands and knees. In front of him. He moves my legs so that my ass and my pussy are open to him. I can't see what he's doing, even though I do try to look over my shoulder. It's then I look up and see him staring at me through the mirror on the dresser.
"You sure you're ready?"
he asks. His concern is still evident, despite the desire you can hear dripping from his dark voice. He moves his hands along the inside of my thighs, sliding through the wetness that has already pooled there. My face heats as more of my desire flows out against his hand when he growls his approval. God, yes. I miss you, Michael. Please.
Don't want to hurt you, beauty,
he mumbles, sounding more and more like the caveman I've accused him of being. I nearly combust when I feel his hand move up and cup my pussy.
So fucking wet. Always so fucking wet and ready,
he moans. His fingers caress me, moving over my clit and through my juices, gathering them on his fingers. This time, it's me who growls out in frustration when he doesn't thrust them inside of me. His hand tangles into my hair and he yanks on it hard, forcing my head up so I have to look at him through the mirror. I watch as he sucks my cum from his fingers, and I'm pretty sure I have a mini orgasm. His hand goes down, and just a moment later, I feel his hard, wide cock sliding against my soaked pussy. The head teases against my sensitive skin, and I thrust against him, wanting him deep inside of me. He slaps my ass, reprimanding me. My body jerks with the sting of pain. Michael, I cry out as he brings his hand down again. I grow still, afraid to move. I feel the broad head of his dick push against the entrance of my ass. I can feel the way my cum has coated his hand, but he can't mean to fuck me like that. He's so big. He pushes a little more, stopping before he actually goes inside. The pressure drives me crazy, but I'm afraid it will hurt. Still, I wouldn't deny him. For a second, fear, relief, and hunger all war with each other.
Not yet. But soon I'm taking your ass, Hayden. I just want to make sure you're ready for me before we do,
he whispers. He leans down, placing kisses along my spine, and I can't deny the disappointment that bubbles up inside of me. Michael wants me like that, and I want him to use me any way he wants. I belong to him. I don't worry about my own pleasure because I know without a doubt that if Michael is in charge, he will always make sure I have nothing but pleasure. I'm about to demand he quits toying with me when I hear him murmur,
"Don't let me hurt you, beauty,"
he whispers. And a moment later, his cock is pushing inside of me. Finally.
Chapter 35. Beast. I deserve a fucking medal for resisting what Hayden has been doing for the last week. Jesus, the woman has practically tortured me with her body. I'm not exactly a small man, though, and there's no way I could make love to her without giving her time to heal. I'm too far gone this time to call a halt to her play. We're close to her follow-up where the doctor said she could resume sexual activities if she was okay. I pray I'm not doing anything that will hurt her, because I'm too weak at this point to stop. She arches her back so her ass is pushed up in the air. I hold onto her hips with one hand as I slowly guide my cock inside of her. I close my eyes as her hot, wet walls grips my cock. Perfection. I grip my teeth to stave off the urge to thrust deeply inside of her, letting my fingers bite into her juicy thighs. I stop with my cock half buried in her, withdraw and then carefully push him back in. It's an exercise in torture, but one that is better than the alternative, being without her. Michael, it's not enough, she cries out, frustrated. I grunt, agreeing with her, but not allowing myself to sink into her deeper, like I crave. I reach my hand around to find her clit, to try and force her orgasm without giving in. I'll take care of you, beauty, I tell her, trying to reassure her that I will make sure she's happy. I need you more, she whimpers. I need you deeper, she adds, thrusting back into me. My dick sinks in another couple of inches and her greedy little snatch clasps me so tightly, I can't resist. Fuck, I never pretended to be a saint. I wrap my hands around each of her thighs and pull her back into me. I keep us connected, but purposely don't want her to take my dick any further. In fact, I raise her off of me an inch or more and we both moan out in disappointment. I lean down, letting my beard graze the side of her neck. Her body jerks in my arms, her breath coming out in a gasp. She's as close to the edge as I am. "Stay on your knees, Hayden," I growl. My voice is so deep it's almost animalistic, which fits, since she makes me feel that way. "Don't take me deep. Stop when it starts to hurt. We got all the time in the world to get you used to having me inside of you again," I whisper, biting her ear and smiling when she reaches behind her and pulls my hair into her hands, knotting it around her fingers. She lowers down on my cock slowly, widening her legs on each side of me. Her ass slides against my stomach and down against my groin as she takes me deeper inside. "Yes," she hisses, her pussy holding me tightly and coating me in her sweetness. She stops moving all at once and my body quakes beneath her, needing more. I growl. My hands move up to her breasts, pulling her back against me. I knead her tits roughly in my hands, tugging on the nipples. I don't bother trying to be gentle. I don't have that in me at this point. Her tits will carry my bruises tomorrow. Mine. She's been too embarrassed to let me touch her breasts a lot, afraid the fact that she leaks milk will turn me off. Fuck, nothing about her body turns me off. I get hard watching her feed Connor. I think she's even more beautiful now that she's become a mother. She was made to nurture a child, to love them. Some women aren't. I know that all too well. Hayden isn't one of them. Everything about her screams love. Every single thing. Hell, when I feel wetness hit my fingers, I surge my dick inside of her, sinking a couple of inches before I stop myself. "Sorry, beauty, it's just... fuck, you feel so good." I apologize half-heartedly. Her fingers tighten in my hair even more. The sting of the pain moves through me and I pull against the hold, because it feels so damn good. I kiss the inside of her neck, using my tongue to lick up the fine beads of sweat. She tastes of sex. I move my lips along the curve of her shoulder. I want to taste every inch of her. When she begins riding my cock again, my eyes nearly roll back in my head. I bite into her shoulder, unable to stop myself from marking her. "I love having you back inside of me, Michael. It feels like it has been forever," she moans, and the sound seems to vibrate in my dick. Before I can stop her, she slides all the way down on me, taking me completely inside of her. "Fuck, Hayden, you aren't supposed to..." I move my hands to her hips, holding her with bruising force, preparing to lift her off of me. I can't hurt her. I couldn't bear it if I did. "It feels good, Michael. God, it feels so good," she whimpers. She grinds down on me, rotating her hips, and Jesus Christ, I could come from this alone. And I almost do. "I love having your cock inside of me. I've been dreaming of you fucking me, and then I'd wake up and feel so empty." She moans, and that's it. I can't take any more. I wrap my hand against her neck, pull her face to the side, and fucking take her mouth while she grinds against my cock, riding the hell out of me. I pull away, biting on her lip, sucking on it to prolong the pleasure. "Touch your clit, Hayden. Play with that pussy while you're riding me," I order her. I can tell the exact moment she does as I order, because her head goes back, jerking away from me. She rests it against my shoulder, her hair trickling down across my back as her hands go back to pulling on mine. I hold her hips and grind her down hard on my cock, all thoughts of being gentle gone. I feel her detonate a second before I go over the edge, emptying stream after stream of cum inside of her. "I love you, Michael," she cries. "I love you." I have the strangest urge to tell her I love her too.
Chapter 36. Hayden. "Michael, it's kind of hard to decorate cakes like this," I laugh when I feel his arms go around me. When he starts kissing the inside of my neck, I give up all pretense of working.
"How am I supposed to resist?"
he laughs. He laughs. He moves away from my neck and brings my hand up. I look over my shoulder at him and watch as he takes my spatula, licking the buttercream icing off of it.
"Two of my favorite sweets,"
he smiles. "I was using that," I grumble. I was going to take the spatula away, but I stop. because in that moment, my heart turns over. Michael looks completely at ease, completely unaffected by the world. He looks happy. His eyes are literally smiling down at me, sparkling with happiness, and even with traces of pale green, glitter sprinkles, buttercream icing clinging to his beard. Or maybe because of it, he makes my knees go completely weak.
What?
He asks, picking up that I've gone completely still. Does he realize I'm staring at him like a lovesick fool?
Beauty.
I love you so much, I whisper, feeling overwhelmed by the emotion in that moment. This is the first time that I've got a glimpse of what Michael would have been like before Jan destroyed him and before life chewed him up. Before he lost Annabelle. How can your heart be filled with love and break with sadness at the same time? I wish I could go back in time and save Michael from all of the pain that he has endured. I wish I could save that sweet, beautiful girl and give her more time with her daddy. I wish I could have loved him first. I wish I could have loved him longer so that I could have protected him. He tosses the spatula carelessly onto the table, turning me into his arms.
Christ, woman, you leave me defenseless,
he growls, taking my mouth ruthlessly. The taste of buttercream, sex, and Michael hit me all at once, and I whimper at the deliciousness of it. My tongue dances along with his. His hands push into my ass while he lifts me up his body. I wrap my legs around him, holding on to him for dear life, and more than willing to go wherever he takes me. I can feel us moving, and I realize he's walking us toward the door. He pushes me up against it, using it as leverage when he moves his hand under my shirt. The feel of his rough fingers against my softer skin sends chills through me. He pushes my bra out of the way, and I know where this is going to end. And then Connor's cry can be heard over the baby monitor. Michael's hand freezes. He slowly pulls away from the kiss. His head rests against mine as we both drag much-needed air into our lungs.
Connor has bad timing.
Very, I whisper on a broken giggle. We wait, and Connor is quiet. We can hear him cooing and making baby noises. He's awake, but content.
Hayden.
Michael quietly says my name, and there's emotion in it. I hear it. There's so much emotion. I close my eyes and drink it in. His hand moves to the side of my neck, cupping it, and using his hold to raise my eyes to his.
Look at me, beauty,
he prompts. For some reason, nerves hit me. I bring my hand up to rest against his, my thumb moving against his scar. I slowly open my eyes to look at him. The emotion shining in his dark eyes makes the breath literally stall painfully in my chest. Michael, I murmur. Can he hear the fear in my voice?
I'm broken, Hayden,
he whispers, and guilt is heavy in his gruff words. Tears sting my eyes, and I tighten my hold on his hand, my thumb pushing into his scars. I know, I whisper sadly, because I'd give anything to heal him, but I'm not stupid. I know that's not possible.
I might never be able to be whole.
He gives me those words with so much force he closes his eyes. I let mine close too, feeling his pain and letting it blanket me. I mentally will my love into him. It's useless, I know, but I hope he can feel me even with the ruined pieces swimming inside of him, leaving him to bleed where I can't see or heal. I know, I repeat, feeling useless.
You deserve better,
he says, as I open my eyes to look at him. This time there is anger in his voice, and the emotions coming from him are intense, deep, and feel like liquid that I'm absorbing inside of me. I love you, I tell him. Without you, Michael, my world is black. There is no beauty for me. There is nothing but darkness, I tell him. I'm trying to explain in terms only he could understand.
You have Connor,
he tells me, and I feel guilty. I love Connor. I'd lay down my life for him, but Michael brings me a different kind of joy, a different kind of happiness. He brings me to life. So do you, I tell him, knowing that doesn't express what I want, but it's the best I can do right now. Other words are beyond me.
I don't deserve you. I may fuck things up. I can't even promise I won't hurt you again. I can promise I'm fighting like hell to not do that. To be a man you can depend on.
You are, Michael, I try to reassure him, having let our past go long before now.
I love you, Beauty, he whispers. I know I'm not much, but I do love you.
I can't hold it back. The tears fall like rain then. I cry and hold on to him tighter, never wanting to let him go. He can't know what he's given me. He has no idea that I thought I'd never get those words from him.
Don't cry, sweetheart. I don't want you to cry. I'm not good at this kind of thing. I know. I've only said the words to two people in my life.
Just two? I cry, burying my wet face into the crook of his neck. My body's shaking with that small piece of information because I know. I know.
You and my daughter,
he confirms. And right there in my tears, I vow to never take Michael or his love for granted. And to do my best to hold on to it. Forever.
Chapter 37. Beast. Honey, I'm home. Motherfucker. I groan, rubbing the side of my face. Is that any way to talk to your best friend? Devil asks, leaning against the side of the building. What the hell are you doing here? I ask him. I wouldn't admit it, but I have kind of missed him. He grows on you. Kind of like a wart. Gee, sunshine, you're even nicer than I remember. He smirks and I flip him off, which just makes the bastard laugh. Cheer up, asshole. I'm only passing through. I had to come to Vegas to get some information Diesel needed. Figured since I was in the area, I'd come see how your sorry ass was doing without me. Devil responds, clapping me on the back. We shake hands, and I toss one of the boxes I picked up at the post office for Hayden toward him. Well, since you're here, might as well make yourself useful, I tell him as he catches the box and struggles with its weight. Fuck. What the hell are in these things? I told you they're large cans of fondant. I shrug, deciding to be nice and place three more boxes on the one he's finally situated. What the fuck is fondant, and can it be used in sex? He asks. I take the one lone box left, which is also half the size of the others, and close the trunk. No clue. Something to decorate cakes with? I tell him, and just to prove I'm not a complete fucking asshole, I open the back door to the shop for him. That's when Devil finally notices I'm carrying one small box under my arm while he's struggling with the weight of his load. He stops and looks at me over the top of the cardboard. You're a sorry motherfucker, sunshine, he grumbles, going in the door, and I probably surprise both us by laughing out loud. At least Hayden will kiss me for doing all this hard work for her. Maybe she'll even let me taste her muffins. Just like that, the laughter is gone. Fucking asshole. I walk in behind him and then crowd him into the hall, shoving him against the wall. Keep your hands off Hayden's muffins, I grumble, while the son of a bitch just laughs. I wonder how he'd laugh with my fist in his mouth. Where do you want these, Beauty? I ask Hayden when we make it to the room. She's working in the back room today, while Connor plays in his playpen and sleeps, which seems to be his favorite pastime at this point. Put them on the work table if you don't mind, honey. I'll unpack them and make sure the order is right as soon as I finish cutting out these cookies. I stop where she's working, pull her chin up, and grin at her. You have flour on your nose? She crinkles it adorably and tries to brush it clean.
I do?
Mm-hmm. I answer, kissing the spot and then taking her mouth. Her lips follow mine as I pull away. How are you doing? I whisper in her ear, where only she can hear me. I watch as her face turns a bright pink. My dick jerks against my leg, stretching instantly.
It's a little hard to get used to,
she whispers guiltily, her eyes downcast. Do you hate it? I ask her, because as much as I want this, I won't push her into it.
No, I like it. It's just, when I walk...
She trails off. I let my finger brush against the side of her face. Are you wet for me, Hayden?
Michael?
Answer me, I push.
Yes, I'm wet,
she answers, annoyed. Her voice isn't the whisper that it was during the rest of this conversation, either. Well, I've got to say that I like the way this conversation is going, Devil jokes, slamming his boxes down on the table.
Oh my God,
Hayden shrieks. Hey, sexy, Devil says, leaning over the table, giving Hayden a look that is going to get his face smashed in. Fuck off, I growl, wrapping Hayden up in my arms. She's not exactly overjoyed with me at the moment, however.
You didn't tell me you had someone with you,
she hisses.
Hi, Devil.
She sighs, refusing to look either one of us in the face. He isn't someone. He's an idiot, I tell her, pulling her face up to look at me. Love you, beauty, I tell her, hoping to take some of the embarrassment from her face. I'm new at this, but I know I love it when she tells me the same. Apparently I was wrong. Her head raises up and the joy in her eyes is enough to rob me of breath.
I love you.
Fuck, I've missed a lot, haven't I? Keep fucking with me and you'll be missing your teeth. I grumble and Hayden laughs, letting her head rest against my chest, holding my shirt in her hand. She turns to face Devil while still in my arms. I hold her loosely, but in a way that definitely broadcasts who she belongs to. Touchy, touchy. Where's that pretty Jen at?
Sorry, Devil, it's her day off.
Hayden laughs in a way that says she's not really sorry at all. What about DD? I decide to prod him. She's a little possessive, Devil shrugs. You know me, ain't no pussy gonna own my dick.
You got that right, because before that happens, your dick is going to fall off from slipping into the wrong woman,
Dee Dee growls. Hayden looks up at me, biting her lip to keep from laughing. Don't you know it's not nice to eavesdrop on people? Devil asks her.
You're not a person, you're an asshole. Hey, I have a problem.
You got more than one, Devil mutters. In response, Dee Dee flips him off.
What's up, honey?
Hayden asks, before they can fight further, which is probably a good thing.
Rose got sick at school and I need to go pick her up, but I had the garage drop me off this morning, so...
You don't have a vehicle.
Right. Well, I can borrow Michael's truck and...
No way, beauty. You are not leaving without me. We'll both take her.
We can't do that, Michael. Someone has to watch over the bakery. Mr. Banks is coming to pick up the wedding cake today.
You're not going on your own. Devil can take Dee Dee. Hell no, Devil growls. At the same time, Dee Dee answers even more emphatically.
Fuck no. I'll just walk and get my car.
Hayden looks between Devil and Dee Dee and then back at me.
You could take her, she suggests.
Hayden, I'm not comfortable leaving you alone.
Michael, her little girl is sick. Think of how we'd feel if it was Connor. Besides, you aren't leaving me alone. Devil is here. He'll stay with me till you get back.
Go, man. I promise no one will touch her while you're gone, Devil adds in. I look at all three of them, and I'm not fucking happy. I grunt and release a large breath. One look into Hayden's pleading eyes, and I know I can't say no. Anything happens to her, and I'm going to cut off your dick, and you'll have to live your life as a eunuch, I warn. I almost want to call Victor's men over to help watch over Hayden, but they're at our house today. I wanted to make sure her home wasn't left unguarded while we were gone. I can't let Blade find a way in to hurt her or Connor.
That sounds appealing, Dee Dee chimes in.
Fuck off, Devil growls, and Dee Dee flips him off yet again. Give us a few minutes, I growl at them, hoping they don't kill each other while I deal with Hayden.
Michael, what are you doing?
Hayden gasps when I wrap my arm around her tightly and pull her with me towards the back of the store. If you think I'm leaving you here alone with Devil while you have a plug in your ass, you're crazy. I mumble into her ear.
Oh, she gasps.
but she stops trying to resist as I pull her towards the bathroom at the back of the building.
Chapter 38. Hayden.
You're insane, I laugh as he closes the door to the bathroom, locking it.
You make me that way,
he mumbles, and he takes my mouth hard. There's nothing gentle in it. He eats at my mouth, hungrily, and I love it. His hands come down to my ass. I moan as I feel his fingers bite into it.
God, I love the way you kiss, beauty.
He moans as our lips break apart and I force oxygen into my lungs. I love you, I respond, feeling those words all the way to the soles of my feet.
I really want to fuck you,
he groans, and my pussy literally trembles at the thought. Can't. Dee Dee's little girl is sick, I remind him, trying my best to remain sensible.
Jesus, I deserve a fucking medal. Turn around.
He orders. I quickly do as he tells me, wondering how I'm still standing. My legs are so shaky.
Brace yourself on the sink,
he whispers, lifting my hair out of the way and kissing the back of my neck. I do as he instructs, flexing my fingers against the cold marble of the sink. A moment later, I feel his hand slide against the inside of my thigh. I nearly jump out of my skin, not from fear, but anticipation. He brings his hand up slowly, letting his fingers glide gently, teasing me. I bite my bottom lip, rolling it inward just to keep from crying out and demanding more. He gathers my dress in his free hand easily, and I'm starting to understand why he asked me to wear a dress this morning. His hand moves against my panties to cup me there. He doesn't move. He doesn't say anything for a minute. He has to feel how wet I am. My juices are coating the inside of my thighs, and I know my panties are wet. Michael? I ask, when I can't fight down my curiosity any further. His name ends with a gasp as his fingers press into the fabric and rub against my clit. Oh, fuck, I hiss, because somehow even through my panties, he manages to hit the exact spot I need.
Who does this pussy belong to, Hayden?
He asks. I can't answer him at first. He's moving his fingers around in small circles against my clit, making me want more. I need so much more. You know that, Michael, I answer. He yanks the lacy material of my panties down. I step out of them, barely able to think as the cool air hits my wet pussy.
That's better,
Michael groans. I lift my face to look into the mirror at the exact time he brings my panties up to his face, inhaling them. Our eyes hold each other's, and he slowly lowers them, letting them fall to the floor.
If we had more time, I'd fuck this pussy while you had that plug in your ass. You'd let me, wouldn't you, Hayden?
Forget just my pussy. With those words, my whole body quakes. Yes. I'd give you anything you want, I promise him, because I would.
Tonight, beauty,
he promises. I can't help but wish he could now. I'm about to beg him to hell with everything else. Then his hand moves to my now bare pussy and he pushes his fingers through my juices. He slides them back and forth and the sounds fill the small room. I can't find it in me to be ashamed. Michael is the reason I'm so wet, and he's definitely the reason I'm trying to ride his hand and pull his fingers inside of me. He moves to my side and then adjusts my body so my legs are farther out and I'm forced to bend deeper into the sink. He uses his foot to push my legs even further apart, and I'm here at his mercy, displayed for his pleasure. Then, and only then, he thrusts two fingers deep inside of me. I cry out before I can stop myself. Michael!
Shh. You have to be quiet, beauty. They're just outside, and if you aren't careful, they'll know I'm in here fucking you with my fingers,
he says, and he pushes my dress over my back so I'm completely exposed.
You have to be quiet,
he reminds me. But he's grinning, almost as if he wants to see if he can make me be louder. I know he's right.
I don't want them to hear me, so I bite down hard to keep from crying out even louder when his other hand twists the plug inside of me. Oh, fuck. I groan, losing the battle.
I love it when I can make you say that word, beauty, he confesses.
He withdraws the plug a little, and I start to think it's over, right before he rams it back in. The whole time he's doing that, his fingers have left the inside of my pussy and are torturing my swollen clit. Over and over, he's moving against it, getting faster and faster. Michael, I'm going to come, I warn him, feeling my orgasm starting. He hums, giving no real answer. I thought that would make him stop. I really did. I thought he would just remove the plug. He can't want me to come in here with his friend just outside. To prove me wrong, he somehow picks up speed, moving those magical fingers faster and faster over my clit. At the same time, he's pushing the plug in and out in short but intense thrusts and pulls. They leave me feeling like I'm being fucked hard. When his hands move off of my pussy, I lose it. No, please, Michael, put them back. I want to come, I scream. And there's no way anyone in the entire store won't be able to hear me, but I don't care. Michael surprises me by dropping to his knees. He pulls me on his face, his beard tickling me, but feeling fucking amazing at the same time. He twists the plug at the same moment his tongue slides against my clit. I try to hold on. I really do. But as he continues eating me out while fucking my ass, there's nothing I can do but give in to all of the sensations assaulting me. I'm coming. Fuck, Michael. Oh, fuck, I'm going to come. I scream again, and he keeps the plug in me but stops moving. Instead, he all but lifts me further on his face.
Ride my face, beauty. Fucking come all over it, he growls,
and I grab his hair, holding his mouth to me, and I ride him until I climax so intensely my body trembles for several long minutes. Even after I've finished. My heart is thundering in my ears as I come down. Slowly, I realize I'm still on his face, and he's licking my pussy slowly, almost trying to calm me down. Carefully, I pull away, my legs weak, my dress falls back down. I look down to see Michael grinning up at me. He holds out my panties he picked off the floor. I grab them, immediately putting them back on as embarrassment floods my face. Oh, God, I whisper, realizing how much Dee Dee and Devil probably heard.
Don't, beauty, he grumbles,
but he has a smile. He reaches under me, pulls my panties to the side, and then carefully removes the plug. Oh, fuck, I hiss as he takes it away. My body feels strangely empty because I had gotten used to having the plug inside of me. Don't what? I ask, trying to concentrate on anything but how empty I feel, or how much I want him to make love to me again.
Don't feel bad for losing control. I like it. I want more of it.
I can't really argue with him, so I say nothing. We spend the next few minutes washing up and securing the plug in the small black bag and hiding it under the sink. When he turns around, his face is relaxed and his dark eyes are shining. He's happy. Something about that makes me feel like I won the lottery.
Kiss your man, he orders.
I lean up on my tiptoes to give him my mouth, and he gives me a quick but intense kiss. Thank you, Michael, I whisper, and he grunts in answer, which makes me smile. He opens the door with a sigh.
You owe me tonight,
he mumbles, and I giggle. When we get outside, Devil and Dee Dee are there, and they aren't even trying to act like they weren't listening in. Assholes.
Let's go.
He yells at Dee Dee. He gives me one last look over my shoulder and shoots Devil a warning look. I'll pay you back tonight, I assure him with a giggle. Michael grunts and then walks out with Dee Dee to his truck. God, I love him.
Chapter 39 Beast
I appreciate the ride, Michael. I hate that I had to ask. I should have waited until Jen was working to take my car to the garage. It's just that noise was getting worse, and I didn't want to get stranded somewhere on the road. Especially if Rose was with me.
It's okay. It won't take long to get you to the garage, I tell her, forcing myself to talk. It's still hard for me to talk to anyone other than Hayden. Still, I appreciate it. I don't mean to be trouble. I didn't know you had a daughter, I answer, mostly to change the subject.
Yeah, she's my world. Her dad took a header off the face of the earth, and it's just been the two of us.
A header?
Yeah, he fell off the edge. Haven't heard from him since the day she was born. Hope I never do at this point. I don't have the best taste in men,
she adds, looking out the window. I don't really know what to say to that shit. I'm not exactly Dear Abby or whatever, so I don't say anything. Dee Dee reaches over and turns on the radio, turning on some country shit that would make my dog howl. If I had a dog. I don't. I have to wonder if Hayden would like a dog. We haven't really talked about life, but she seems to like it here in Wyoming. It's away from her past and mine. It's a peaceful town. I think it would be great for Connor. A boy needs a dog, too. Do you know if Hayden is allergic to dogs? I ask Dee Dee. Hell, maybe Hayden's talent for just blurting things out is starting to rub off on me.
Dogs? No, at least not that I know of. Are you thinking of buying a dog?
Not sure, but kids should have a dog to grow up with, one to protect them.
The garage is up ahead on the right, she says, and then nods her head. And yeah, I get it. Be careful what you get, though. I got Rose a miniature pincher once, and that damn thing bit her above the eye. My poor baby has a scar there now.
I pull into the garage, frowning. I shoot Dee Dee a look like she's fucking insane. Do I look like the kind of man that would have a miniature anything? Again, I remain silent. The sooner she gets out, the sooner I can get back to Hayden. I know Devil will watch her closely, but I'll just feel better if I'm there. Here you go. Are you sure you're okay here? I ask, not wanting to leave her stranded, but wanting to leave.
Yeah, I called ahead. The car is done. Thanks again,
she says, already turning around. She slams the door before I can respond. She's fucking strange. I have to wonder what went down with her and Devil. I'll have to ask him later. It doesn't take me long to get back to the shop, and I pull around to the back of the building. A chill goes through me. As I get out and I smell strawberries in the air, one word pops in my head. Run. I don't know why, maybe it's a throwback from my military days, but I've always had a sixth sense when it came to danger. It is one of the things that made me good as the strong arm of the Devil's Blaze. Those alarm bells are going off like crazy right now. I get out of the truck and the scent of strawberries is so strong it nearly brings me to my knees. Am I going insane or is Annabelle really with me? I look behind me, thinking that any minute the reason I'm feeling like this will appear. Nothing happens, however. I'm about to write it off as just being paranoid. I make it about 3 steps away from the truck, heading inside when I feel it. A whizzing sound, loud enough I can hear it, and it's followed by a stinging sensation on the back of my neck. It isn't painful. It's more unexpected and forceful. I bring my hand up to touch the spot and feel something soft touch my fingers. I pull on it. I look at the object in my hand, confused. A dart. I sniff at the sharpened point and there's a foul odor clinging to it. I immediately feel like I've had way too much to drink. In fact, the world starts spinning. The cracked concrete I'm standing on appears to be floating, getting closer and closer to me. I shake my head, trying to fight off the effects. I'm slow and my brain isn't working properly, but I know I've been drugged. I have to fight it. I need to get inside to warn Devil to protect Hayden. I have to make sure Hayden is safe. That's the one thought that keeps running through my mind. I try to call out her name, because at this point I'm sure I'm not going to make it to the door before I go down. I fall to my knees. No fucking sound will come out of my mouth. I try again, but my tongue feels heavy. My whole body does, and it's hard to get anything to function. I'm literally crawling on the ground, pulling myself by hands that are only working by sheer determination and panic that something will happen to Hayden. Hey, Dan. I finally get the word out, but it's way too quiet. There's no way she can hear me. I look up at the security camera above the door. The image blurs, and no matter how much I blink, I can't seem to focus. The only thing I know for sure is the red light isn't on. Someone has turned it off. Motherfucker, I have to get out of this. I have to. I groan out in pain as a large steel-toed boot connects with my ribs. I'm so fucking out of it I can't even make my body move with the hit. Another is delivered and another. I lose count 4. Maybe 5 connect. Fuck. It could even be more. I'm pushed over on my back and my body is even too fucking useless to fight that. This is how it ends. This is it. That's the one thought that rings over and over in my head. After years of wanting nothing more than to die, it's fucking ironic that I'm dying now, just when I finally want to live. Visions of Hayden and Connor flash through my mind. I hadn't realized it, but I had been planning a life with them. I had been looking forward to the future for the first time in... forever. I had been happy in a way I never had been, even when Annabelle was alive. Maybe I should feel guilt for that, but I can't. Hayden is everything I always wanted in life and never knew existed. My heart hurts as the knowledge that I won't be here for her, to protect her, to take care of Connor, to love them, begins to settle deep inside of me. The knowledge brings pain that lances through me with the force of a blade that is red hot and forged with the fires of hell itself. You made that entirely too easy, a dark voice says above me. I look up, squinting my eyes to try and see who it is, actually surprised it's not Blade. I can barely make out a face. I don't think I know him. I want to ask who it is, but I can't. Everything slowly fades to black. I accept that I'm probably never waking up. I finally manage to get one word out. Hayden.
Chapter 40. Hayden. Are you going to tell me what happened between you and Dee Dee? I ask Devil, as he finishes helping restock the front display case from the lunch rush. I should say he's restocking it while I'm sitting in the chair behind the counter feeding Connor. He's taking a bottle, even though it's not his favorite. Still, I've found pre-pumping milk for him makes my life easier during the workday. I would be lying, though, if I said I didn't miss breastfeeding. We still do that at night before bed, though. I run my fingers through Connor's dark hair and wait for Devil to answer.
Nothing to tell. Not really. Dee Dee is what I like to call a woman on the prowl.
A what?
She's a single mother, and she's looking for a permanent man. That is not me.
I don't get that vibe from her, but... and I don't mean any offense, Devil. I think if she was on the prowl, you would be the last man she set her sights on.
What makes you say that?
She had a threesome with you in the back of a shop. That's not exactly daddy material, I tell him, and I have to giggle when he looks confused as to why she wouldn't pick him.
You're wrong,
he denies, shaking his head no. I don't think I am, I laugh. Connor has fallen asleep, and I put the bottle up on the counter, staring down at my beautiful baby.
Women always want to be the one to reform the devil. That's just facts. You girls love to think you have what it takes to tame the bad boys,
he says. And he doesn't say it cocky. In fact, he sounds rather matter-of-fact about it all. Odd. I don't really see you as a bad boy, I tell him, honestly.
Honey, I'm as bad as they come,
he winks. If you say so. I just can't see it.
Maybe you need glasses, darling,
he jokes. I think you protest too much. You just haven't met the right girl yet, I tell him, slowly getting up. I'm going to take Connor back to his playpen. Be right back, I whisper.
Maybe I have met her, but I already know she couldn't handle me,
Devil responds, having followed me into the workroom. You were supposed to watch the front, I mumble.
I eat pie, honey. I don't sell it,
he smirks. I roll my eyes at him and do my best not to laugh. I'm pretty sure I fail. You're horrible. I'm going to sit back and laugh when some girl finally does catch you, I laughingly tell him as we walk back to the front. He follows me, laughing, too. There's not one girl that you've looked at and wanted?
Thousands,
he deadpans. I meant to keep, I snort out loud. He's crazy. He smirks, but then something happens. He gets a faraway look in his eye, and then it's almost as if he forces himself to look at me. The look is gone, and his face is full of the mischief I always associate with him. He shrugs.
Aha! So there is one.
Nah, not really.
That's a yes.
You're annoying. How does Sunshine put up with you?
Wow. Did you know that when you get backed into a corner, that charm starts to crack?
Whatever.
He laughs, not bothering to deny it.
So tell me about this girl.
Not much to tell. I saw her and I wanted her. The end.
It ends after you get her?
Didn't get her. Turns out she's not available.
Married. You can't touch a married woman, Devil. It's not right.
Honey, there's not much in life that I've done that could be called right. But she's not married. At least not to a man.
She likes women?
What? No. At least I don't think so.
I'm afraid I'm not following then, Devil. Maybe you could dumb it down for me?
He laughs, shaking his head.
You're just what Sunshine needs in his life.
I'm trying to be, but you need to quit changing the subject, I reprimand him.
He sits down at one of the empty customer tables with an exaggerated sigh.
What is it with women and their need to constantly bust balls?
What is it with men and their need to avoid serious questions?
Jesus. Fine. She lives in a convent.
I'll be the first to admit that I wasn't sure what he would come back with. The last thing I expected, however, was that the woman who had caught his eye lived in a convent. I open my mouth and try to say something appropriate. Then I close it, realizing there's nothing I could say.
Do you smell strawberries? I ask instead, because right then the scent hits me strongly.
And I've left her speechless,
he jokes, still looking a little uncomfortable.
No, I'm being serious. Do you smell that?
I just figured it was something you had fixed to sell,
he shrugs.
No, it's strange. You know, I smelled that exact scent when that man tried to rob us.
I doubt he's coming back. I think he's still in county lockup.
Yeah. Still, it's weird, right?
If you say so. Shouldn't it be about time for Sunshine to get back here?
I would have thought so. Maybe Dee Dee's car is still messed up,
I tell him. I take out my cell phone and try to call Michael, but it just goes to recording.
No answer. I'll try Dee Dee. I tell him, already dialing the number. Her phone goes straight to voicemail, too. I leave a message and sigh, looking up at Devil.
We'll give them a little more time. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, you're probably right. How about I teach you how to frost cupcakes to pass the time? I ask him, trying to ignore the warning bells going off in my head. There's no reason for them.
The door opens with the chime, and a couple of young girls walk in.
Saved by the bell,
Devil jokes, laughing, and I try to smile with him.
Quit worrying, Hayden. Michael's a big boy. I'm sure everything is fine.
Yeah, you're right, agreeing with him, as I go to help the new customers. I just wish I believed him.
Chapter 41. Hayden.
I just don't understand where he could be, I cry. I'm in my car driving around and around the area looking for any sign of Michael. It's almost 8 o'clock now, and it's starting to get dark. We've been searching for over 3 hours, ever since Dee Dee called to let me know that she hadn't seen Michael since he dropped her off around 2 this afternoon. That means that Michael has been missing for 6 hours. 6 long hours. I have Dee Dee.